morning, good morning, welcome. You're on Bana Mendelje Bobo, part of Eastern Gogo Yalanji country. So I just want to welcome everyone here. We're all here to learn off each other. And, you know, I could say that I've been having a few yarns with few people, and, you know, you guys are doing great stuff in your communities. And guys who want to go fishing, there's a deeper water hole going back north there. You can go fishing in there. There's no crocs up here, so it's pretty safe. Desmond Taylor, the current mayor of Woodjawoodjal Aboriginal Shire Council, and also traditional owner of Bana Mendelje, which is Dawnvale Station. It's very important the way you burn country. So you've got to burn it in a way that you create a balance, not where the country is unbalanced, where you got unseasonal fires coming through, just wreck your whole country. For Bama Aboriginal people in Yalanji, it's very important. Again, you've got to learn how to see what's on country. You've got to learn how to read the country. So there's certain species on country that need burning at certain times of the year. So you've got to really manage that process. Say if you were burning down on the lowland area compared to up on the high country. So you've got to be very mindful in terms of how you do your fire management program. One of those vital links that we need to make, build those relationship with parks and wildlife, the Rural Fire Brigade, because I know they're pretty active and doing stuff out there, but they're sort of set in a way where they don't do traditional fire methods, so it's important that you work very closely with these groups and to build that.
We're coming together here and getting the Indigenous fire practices happening in Australia once more. We're going to be doing some more burns, learning plants and trees and bush tucker. For the Yalanji people, where we're going is healing water. It's very special water, and so if you're feeling exhausted, a little bit sore, that water will fix you up. It's going to be a beautiful day, but I'm really proud of everyone, really proud of you all. Yeah.
My name is Victor Stevenson. I'm an Indigenous fire practitioner. Quite a long time ago, when I was living with old Dr. Tommy George, the late Dr. Tommy George, and the late George Musgrave and families, we started to record traditional knowledge because we could see that that knowledge was at risk and it needed to be recorded. And then as time went on and recorded a great deal of this knowledge, you know, the three of us started to see that we needed to do something for country, because the land was really sick and the younger generations were missing out on that knowledge. Fire is the key and the first fundamental management for getting country healthy. And when we looked at country so unhealthy, you know, I would say, yeah, burn it, you know, burn it, old fella. But they would say, oh, I can't, because we've got to talk to the boss first, meaning the cattle station owners and the national parks. So they grew up in that era where they had to obey, like, boss man and listen to pastoralists and so forth. And it took a lot of work for the elders to gain the confidence to reapply their knowledge again, you know, to get out of that mentality that, you know, they had to ask superiors to actually do their cultural practices again. For a lot of elders all over and a lot of communities all over Australia, you know, a lot of the clan groups have lost a lot of knowledge. They haven't lost their culture, of course. But knowledge and language is something that has really been a, you know, huge threat. The reason why I was doing it is because my grandmother's, she was a stolen generation, and her whole family, and I couldn't learn any of their culture because that was completely gone. So recording the knowledge was something of a big interest for me, and once the elders started to see some progress in re-implementing their knowledge, they got really excited too. It really was the beginning of getting the Indigenous fire practices happening again. So a lot of the country is not managed the old way, where the country was always rich and plenty of food. That was the role of fire, you know, to create food for people and animals, and that was a you know, part of the cycle and linking to everything and everything serving each other. All our ways that we look at the land, it's about healing the land. It's not about hazard reduction. And what I would really like to see is an Indigenous fire strategy, national one, that is a free service to help farmers, to help communities, to help Indigenous rangers services to read their country and to start looking at ways of applying fire to heal their land and to look after it.
My name's Peter Stanley. I'm the operations manager at Cape York NRM. But before that, I spent a number of years on country recording fire knowledge with Emma Old People and Victor Stephenson. Fire is, people talk about fire like it's just one thing. But it's not one thing. You know, cool fires actually, you know, heal the country, and hot fires are really damaging. And I can understand most people's experience of fire is a hot fire. And that's a really scary thing for people from southern Australia, for example, who have lost lives and lots of infrastructure. We have just as much area burn in Cape York almost annually. At some point, non-Indigenous land managers and government and agencies need to actually consider that there is a vast wealth of knowledge that has existed in this country for a significant period of time that could actually benefit us as a society as a whole.
I'm Harold Riley from Tasmania. I live in the highlands down there from the Big River Tribe. It's come to the point that the way it's done today, we all think the money's the thing, so they've got to burn big areas as quick as they can, and they're too severe. Where the traditional way, you can go around and burn a little bit at a time and make the country so it can handle it. And then what happens down there in Tasmania particularly, there's been a lot of country left and there hasn't been anything management, and they had those terrible fires this year down there, and a lot of that wouldn't have been had it the country been looked after over the last 40 years. It's really been neglected. Big message here for land managers and regulators, and a big message for the people that are interested that don't quite understand how it's done, particularly the young people. And I'm very impressed with the number of young people that are here that are taking this on board.
So my name is Kai Barrett. I work in the ACT. I work at a place called Timminbilla Nature Reserve. I'm one of the GSOs down that way, and I do a lot of fire stuff in the Rural Fire Service. Down in the ACT, they had a big fire in 2003. They had a few fires before that. Most of the people down home way are a bit afraid of fire. We tend to be a bit more careful. Being eucalyptus country, you know, it tends to burn a lot more harder. So, you know, doing as much as we can at night or just in the autumn months, you know. You know, that bush needs to be burnt constantly. There's a lot of people down my way, so farms as well, and a lot of cattle and wildlife. So it'd be good to protect that, you know. A lot of the grasslands down home way are being choked. Haven't been burned for a while, so there's little skinks, little legless lizards. All these other insects need that space to move, you know, need to aerate that grass. So country has always been burnt. These plants that we see around us today, they need that fire to keep seeding and to grow. So when we put a burn through, you know, up in the mountains, first thing to come back is the grass trees, you know, and it's the beautifulest thing I've ever seen. Nice green shoots coming out of these nice black stumps.
Victor Stephenson, you can read country, and I'm going to get you to prove it, if that's all right. Can we stand up and go for a walk?
Well, what I see here is a country that's had very devastating hot fires. This country here is mainly bloodwood country, and yeah, I can tell that by the parent trees. And parent trees are the large trees that belong here, the really big ones. And you can see the state of them. The hot fires have come and just been way too hot and destroyed and killed even a few of them. So you can see a lot of dead bloodwood trees all over the place, and the canopies are really thin. And when you look at the trunks of the bloodwood trees, you can see the leaves sticking out of the trunks rather than large big branches, which is a sign of stress. And when we look at the forest floor, there's no shade from these big bloodwood trees anymore. And what happens is all this wattle is coming up now, this black wattle, and it's everywhere. And eventually, if we don't do anything, more hot fires will come, and all the black wattle that's thickening all the understory will burn hot again and then throw it up to the parent trees even more. All we're going to have is dead wood, rubbish, and more black wattle coming up, and less grass eventually as well. What we see here is what I call upside down country, where you see the roots sticking in the air and you see the canopy on the ground, where it's thick on the ground and thin on the top.
What sort of wildlife is that restricting?
Well, you can't even walk through there yourself. It's just so thick. And when you look at it, there's no other diversity of plants in there, like small fruit and berries, because in Bloodwood country, there's other diversities of those plants, and they're not present here. That's because they've just been suppressed by all this dead grass and leaves from all the hot fires from the canopy falling. It's just no food there to support a lot of the animals. I don't even hear rustles of lizards in here anyway, because usually you would hear them running in the bush, you know. You also don't hear many birds, as you should, because the canopy isn't so healthy. So what we need to be doing here is repairing that canopy, because Australia is a really hot country. You know, we need shade. Shade is so important for our land and for the forest floor, because that creates a cool bottom which mixes with moisture and allows more plants and a diversity to come up. It's not really looking good at the moment.
What would be the problem with having a really hot fire here? Would it not clear that grass that you're talking about and fix the problem?
Well, that's the thing. People would look at all this wattle and think, oh, you got to put a hot fire to get rid of it. It's so thick. But that's where they go wrong, because they look at country and they look at the problem. Say if it's weedy, they look at the weed and they want to burn a hot fire through to kill the weed. And that's not the right approach. What we look at is burning the right fire on the right country to support the native grasses and other plants so that they come up and become strong and build their immune system. We continue to put cool fires, which become more regular. And those regular fires are the fires that, you know, will slowly thin out this country over time and get it back where it should be. You know, we're talking about fires that don't create large fire scars up the trees. Like, if you look here now, you can see the fire scars are quite high. They're over our head a little bit. That's really from high-intensity fires that have been coming through here. So the fires are cool. They're no more than knee height when we burn.
Would cool fires and cool burns literally stop disastrous bushfires across Australia?
Most certainly will. It will stop those bushfires from happening, because people won't be able to start them, because the country will be clean and it will already be burnt. And if fires do start, then they'll certainly slow down when they hit burnt country again. There's no doubt about it, you know.